Hey everybody, this is Dave Coryell, president of Delcor, and welcome to this episode of Reboot IT, where we are going to talk about customer data platforms. And who better than one of the community experts, but Colleen Scollins, to give us her take and some valuable insights. She is the practice lead for marketing and customer experience at Clark & Esposito. If you want to know more about CDPs, listen in because she's got a lot to say.
Welcome to Reboot IT, brought to you by Delcor. We're bringing you the latest in association and nonprofit technology. And now your host, Delcor President Dave Coryell.
Good morning, Colleen. It's good to see you, even if it is in 2D. It's always good to see some peers from the 501c community out doing good work with our fellow industry partners and our clients. How are you today?
I'm great. Pleased to be here, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I think you have things that association executives need to hear. That is the crux of this show. So I do appreciate you sharing them. And I know we're going to be talking a lot about customer data platforms today. But before we get into that, why don't we give everybody a little background on Colleen, you know, what you're doing and where you're from and how you got to where you are so that we can have some context.
Yeah, sure. So I lead the customer experience and marketing practice at a boutique consulting firm called CNE. And we work at the intersection of community and content. And so we work with a lot of publishers, associations, education companies. I have spent my career always in marketing. I did a quick sojourn in sales. I was the CMO of Oxford University Press for about 14 years, where I oversaw marketing, data analytics, and our experience function for our digital products and platforms, and was sort of the lead for our society and association partnerships. And so I've always been fascinated by marketing, marketing technology, data and analytics, how customers think. I'm a bit of a marketing nerd.
Well, and I live speaking as a person with a computer science undergrad, I appreciate nerds. Viva la nerds. So, you know, you mentioned their boutique. What is the focus? What's boutique about it? What do you?
Yeah, we work with clients that have content at the center of what they do. So it could be that they've got professional development content, educational content, member society magazines, journal publishing platforms. We're working with organizations that cater to professional audiences, academic audiences, communities where they're sharing community values and content. But most of our, like I said, clients are associations, publishers, and education companies.
Okay.
I want to community is kind of at the root of it.
Perfect. And I want to made a note to myself just now to ask you about some of the threats to that community or that business model. But before we get there, you know, I know that a lot of our conversation recently outside of this conversation has been around customer data platforms. And I always like to start with at the beginning with what are we talking about? So how would you describe a customer data platform? Explain what that is to association execs that aren't familiar.
A customer data platform, known as a CDP, unifies customer and audience data from sort of different systems and platforms into a single view. And I think in that sentence I just said, what's really important is the word audience. Mm-hmm. So customer data platforms are collecting behavioral and engagement data from people that visit association properties, websites that are not known, anonymous visitors. So CDPs are collecting those behavioral fragments from the people that visit your site, whether you know who they are or you don't know who they are, and they're unifying that data with the transactional, relationship, marketing engagement campaign data you have into sort of a unified profile. CDPs are really good at what they call identity resolution, realizing that Sally may be a member, but she's also reading this journal article, she's reading this magazine article, is the same Sally who spoke at an event. So it's really connecting all of the fragments of identity together into a profile. And I think the other important thing to note about CDPs is they were born out of the frustration of marketers, because a lot of the tools in the association tool stack, and for any organizations, really didn't make it easy for marketers to get their hands on that customer and audience data. And what I mean by that is to create really rich segments, to send it to their email tool so they could deploy an email, and so on and so forth. So CDPs don't just unify and connect that data, but they give marketing a place to go in and activate that data, see analytics on it, segment it, work with the other tools in the marketing ecosystem.
Okay, so there's 14 things I want to unpack in there, right? There's that's great. And one question I have right away is I get my Google Analytics, right? I get my data analytics. And you gave an answer to the question of why this is different in the unification piece, right? Is which I don't get in my Google Analytics or my web analytics. Is there something else that's different from what you get out of a CDP versus your traditional web traffic analytic tool?
Sure. Google Analytics or any other web traffic tool is anonymized. It's not sharing with you at a profile level. So it would be impossible for me to say, create a segment of all people who've engaged with content on the topic AI, and I want to pop up a web app to them. Google Analytics doesn't do that. It could tell you that 600 people have looked at these pages, but you can't actually isolate those people and segment them. Now, in a world in which I can connect those people into my database and I knew who they are, I could email them. But in a world where I don't know who they are, I can still send them web personalization messages. I can still talk to them when they're on my properties because I recognize them by their digital signals. So Google Analytics is anonymous. It's aggregated. It doesn't connect back to a person. A CDP is creating profiles. It's creating profiles for accounts. It's creating profile for people you know, and it's creating profiles for people that are visiting your sites, but you don't know who they are. They're not identified.
And at some point, you used the name Sally earlier. At some point, it connects Sally to a database profile, or then it knows that
Sure.
that's why Sally, that's Sally's the person who spoke at the conference and then looked at this content. Is
When it
it an
can.
action on
When it
Sally's
can.
part that connects them, or is it, you mentioned digital signals a second ago, or is it enough of those get collected that it's a really smart guess to say this activity has been happening by Sally based on what I know?
Yeah, both. So
Okay.
the first thing, the most safe kind of connection is, let's say Sally's reading the membership magazine or the journal, and she's not signed in, right? We're collecting her digital signals, her digital fingerprints. Then tomorrow, Sally's on the main association site and she signs in because she's a member, because she's getting some sort of member benefit, whatever might be behind that paywall. It can make that connection then. It can say, this profile over here, oh, that's Sally. It's the same person. So that is the safest. It can do deterministic matching. That's when it's got something where it can definitely match. And there's all sorts of tricks it has in its toolkits to do that matching. But I think that membership sign-on in is kind of the most easy to explain and most intuitive. It can do probabilistic matching too, where it's using AI and saying, I'm pretty sure this is Sally, but I don't know definitively. And I would not recommend that you make that merge, but you might try a segment based on that data, a
Gotcha.
marketing campaign based on that data. But it's
And
looking across all your digital properties and it's able to sort of, when it can connect, it is connected.
this is interesting to me that there's the CRM piece that most organizations have, whether it's a CRM or an AMS or whatever you want to call it, there's right the customer relationship profile, the customer relationship database, et cetera, that Sally has a record in. And the difference being that the traditional CRMs and so on aren't performing this type of analysis. Is that correct? I mean, that there's
Correct, 100%. So, you take like a journal, for example, right? If you're a society and you have a journal, your journal traffic is probably, multiples and multiples that of your association membership. And these are people that are obviously interested in the topical area you serve as an association because your journal is in that topical area. And for most associations with journals that you can identify, I say less than 20% because there are some rock stars out there, but for most associations, it's less than 5% of your journal readership because they don't sign in. They don't need to sign in. The content might be open access, so it's freely available, or an institution has a site license, and so you're authenticated via that site license. And so you have this large audience of people that are frequenting your content, who are interested in your topical areas, that you have this really rich information on. You know what articles they're looking in, so you know within your specialty what subspecialty they're interested in. You just don't know who they are. And so CDPs start to help to make those connections.
And those connections are a tactic that leads to delivering value to the stakeholders, the internal stakeholders. You said in the beginning you're a marketing nerd. So I'm tying this back to marketing, right? That's where the value proposition of a CDP really shines. Is that?
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, they help with a myriad of things, but at their most basic sense, if you know who somebody is and you can better target them, whether that's with a message or recommended content, your conversion rate, right? Whatever it is you're trying to sell, let's call it an event, is going to be improved. Your engagement and stickiness is going to be improved. A lot of societies that we work with, one of the common complaints we hear is our marketing is too broad. I call it spray and pray. Our segments are really, really broad, and we can't make the nuances in messaging that we need to talk to people in really specific ways. And, you know, we're finding many and many, many more use cases for that kind of refined sort of targeting, recommended content, talking to people in really personalized manners. So CDPs really, really help with that. They help with a myriad of other things as well. If you're an association and you sell advertising or sponsorship, that kind of targeting and identification is critical to increase ad monetization. They also help with busting silos. Most associations that we work with are siloed in sort of two ways. When they think about marketing, often they're marketing at the program level. There is a membership campaign. There's a campaign for their annual meeting. There are journal campaigns to get authors and so on and so forth. But it's the same person. And so CDPs help organizations think at that customer audience level. Again, what does Sally want to hear about? What's Sally interested in? And so it kind of busts that silo. The other silo it helps bust is the sort of platform and channel silo. And what I mean by that is many associations are really dependent on email. And when they are using house ads on their web properties, they tend to be page or content specific. As opposed to saying, again, Sally is on my blog, my membership magazine, my journal article, my association site. I don't really care where Sally is. I care who Sally is and what marketing message I want to show Sally at that time, what she's most interested in. Now, where she is may be an event signal that helps me cater that message, but I'm not forced to think of my web properties as separate. So it helps you think kind of omni-channel and your association as a whole. So I call it busting silos.
In two things here. One, and this is a short one, I think, some period of time ago, when you talk to associations about their customers, you'd get corrected. We don't have customers, we have members, right? And so I'm wondering if, and I feel like that's corrected. I think a lot of associations now don't care if you say the word customers, et cetera, or clients, et cetera, their constituents, they're off the member only way of thinking. Do you run into that at all these days with CDP? Well, where it's a customer data platform, we don't really have customers, we have members. So you have to adjust the way you talk about this, or is that not a thing anymore so much?
Let me hear it. What we are trying to tell associations is be audience centric, be whatever the word is, community centric. Again, you might have 10, 20, 50, 100 times the number of members you have that are engaged with your content, products, services, your meetings, your webinars, your blog articles, your journal authors, so on and so forth. If you're only focused on your really small slice of members, you're missing a broader group of people that are engaging with your association. And if you do a really effective job in understanding them and engaging them, they're likely to purchase additional products and services, some of which will probably be membership. But membership isn't the only thing an association has. So we say be audience focused.
Okay, that's good. And we mentioned earlier CRMs, you know, relationship management platforms for customers, et cetera. And then also I need to bring, or we need to bring CMSs, content management systems, into play, as well as the MarCom stack, right? What we're using for, you mentioned email is the go-to, but there are other ways to get the engagement and so on, which makes me think about two things: one, data and data governance, and two, integrations, and where most associations are now with those topics. So what I'm wondering is, how does an association prepare itself for a CDP addition? What are the signs or signals, as you've been using the word, that tell an association they're ready or not ready to bring in a CDP into their ecosystem?
Yeah, I think generally there are three signs that an association's probably ready to consider a CDP. So I think the first is, they've realized that marketing is really important, and they've realized that they're probably behind in marketing. And I don't necessarily mean behind other associations, but behind marketing in general. They're realizing that there are these modern marketing capabilities, and really believe if they brought them to bear that they would see, you know, a more successful delivery of their mission, increased membership, whatever it is they're sort of looking for. And I would say we are finding some real mandates at associations that are kind of making that wake up moment. One is on the journal publishing side with open access, and they're competing for authors, and they're realizing that they're having a hard time doing that vis-a-vis more commercial publishers that have these kind of tooling. That's one. The other is they've seen their ad revenues or their exhibit sponsorship revenues plateau or decline, and feel like there's room for those revenues to grow, but they realize it's because they don't have the right kind of sort of audience intelligence. And the third in general is maybe membership is declining. So usually there maybe is some sort of mandate, but they've realized that they need more modern marketing. So that's kind of the first one. You have to, mm-hmm. you have to think marketing's important, and you want to give your marketing team the right sort of tool set. I think the second, which is related to the first, but slightly different, is maybe you think marketing is important, but your marketing team is not as efficient as they can be. You have a low level of automation. It takes a really long time for the marketing team to execute the kind of campaigns they want to. You're unable to scale. And so you want to get kind of more power out of your marketing team. And I think the last one is a recognition that that data is really important, that you need to have really good consent. You have to have really good privacy management. CDPs are excellent at consent, subscription, and preference management. And that's getting really hard. And you're noticing that the legislation policies are getting harder and harder. And you've got all of these manual processes. And associations tend to err on being really conservative because they don't have kind of the systems and processes to manage the consent and subscription in the real time, right? How many times do you go to an association website and you're forced into this really kind of complicated whereas you see other organizations are just having you collect their emails, and they're doing that in completely wonderfully consent privacy ways. And so I think, you know, it's usually those types of things. The thing I like about a CDP, and I should say, there are over 180 CDPs. They're not one thing, kind of like CRMs, right? They all do different things. They all have different strengths and weaknesses. But what I like about, in general, sort of the class of technology is, if you find the right tool and the right vendor, you can pick at it. And what I mean by that is, single customer view is not a use case. It's a destination. We want to get there eventually. It's a beautiful destination. It's got tropical trees and it's a wonderful place to be. But I see associations chasing the single customer view, and they're trying to build it in their AMS, or they're trying to build it in their CRM, and they will get there in 5 to 7 years is what you usually hear. What I really like about customer data platforms is you can start collecting behavioral data right away. You can start coming up with the use cases that really matter and just bring in the data you need to support those use cases. Iterate, show value, bring another batch of use cases, which I think is a different way to think about customer data. So I think, you know, sort of the last thing is, organizations that have kind of agility in their blood that like to think about things in that agile, quick, win, move on way tend to just be more oriented towards CDPs than other kind of associations.
So there's two things there for me. One is a cultural aspect, right? You mentioned they have agility in their blood, and their culture supports innovation. Their culture supports the trying something new when and then learning from it and iterating, as you said. And then you mentioned the low level of automation in the second point you made, which in our 501c IT maturity model would mean they're functional. It works, but it's not easy, right? It's not an effective way to use or perform marketing related tasks or goals and initiatives. So I hear those four points you just made. They are definitely important as far as the way we can tell whether, or you can tell, or an association can tell whether or not they're ready for something like CDP. Are there also the pragmatic side of, you know, we hear all the time, our data is a mess. Our, you know, CRM or AMS is customized and we need to get back to the base platform, et cetera. Do you run into organizations that may be ready from a cultural or interest perspective, but just don't have their technology aligned in a way that a CDP can be successfully implemented?
Yes. I think, you know, garbage in, garbage out.
Correct,
right?
Yeah.
The data you're bringing into the CDP needs to be in good shape. But I would stress in service to your use cases. And so what I mean by that are, what are the use cases that are most important? So we work with some associations that have made the decision that, for example, their journal use cases are the most important. Usually their author database is in really good shape. Mm-hmm. Usually they've got good enough membership records. The email records in whatever their marketing automation system is are in good enough shape. The CDP can start collecting behavioral data. That might be enough to achieve, you know, of 5 or 6 or 7 really high impact use cases that bring good value. Maybe their meetings data is a mess, right? You know, you don't have to fix it all.
Okay.
To start getting value from a CDP. That's what I mean by single customer view isn't a use case destination. You don't want to bring bad data in. And so when we work with clients, we build use case inventories and we prioritize them. And we're looking at a couple of things. One, you know, is the use case going to bring business value? First and foremost. Secondly, what is the shape of the data required to deliver the use case? Is it already in the CDP? Does it need to be brought in the CDP? How can you get it in? Is it going to be through an API, a native integration, or you're batch uploading it? What is the quality of the data? Do you understand the attributes of the data and can you map them into the CDP? So data quality. And then the third is sort of maturity. You may want to build journeys, like automated journeys for members, but you need, you know, a good amount of data mm-hmm. to be able to execute those. You may have a really great ambitions of testing campaigns. You got to be able to deliver campaigns before you can test them. So sort of where you would do it in a marketing maturity. So all three of those dimensions get put into the use cases that you would advance first.
So right? Yes, don't wait for perfection. There's value somewhere. And you probably have or should have some data that's in good enough order to start working with and build from there. That's what I'm hearing.
100%.
Okay.
Right. And then you tackle it. You bring those three dimensions together and you tackle the use cases as you need it. And you may have a very high value use case where your core underlying data is messy and you do need to do some cleanup and some work. But it starts with, what are those use cases? What's most important?
It makes me wonder when we're talking about use cases, and I'm an association exec, and the majority of my organization's revenue comes from journals. You've used that
yep.
several times today, right? And open access, which was what I was getting to in the beginning as far as threatening business models for some associations due to open access. Are there lessons learned or does this lead to, in the highest level of the 501c maturity model, it's innovation, building new products and services based on what you're finding out from your technology. Are there organizations that have realized that through use of a CDP where they've said, hey, look at what we've just learned. This is where we should target not just our marketing, but our product development and service delivery for our customers, our constituent base?
I mean, CDPs are gold mines of audience intelligence.
Okay.
And if you to bring it back to the journal example you gave, many associations, publishing departments are wrestling with this shift to open access. And they're thinking about all sorts of changes, right? How marketing and editorial engage, how they start to communicate to authors in really personalized ways, transformative deals, right? All of this stuff is kind of changing, and CDPs are really sort of foundational to that. So a couple of really specific use cases I'll call out that people are finding. So CDPs can spot patterns in your audience engagement. So for example, if you're an association, you might find that there's really high engagement in a particular topical area where you have very low content. You might then decide to create a special issue, a special collection, a guest edited collection, recruit some authors to kind of create it, right? So it's spotting opportunities for sort of your editorial roadmap, right? Is one thing they've done. Second thing is one of the big changes in the journal publishing is the transformative deal. So institutions were buying subscriptions in the traditional sense, and the content was paywalled to the patrons in their institution of the subscription. Publishers are now going to institutions and saying, I want to flip this to a transformative deal. You're still paying, but you're paying for your authors, and now the content is open access. And the authors at your institution, if you sign up this transformative deal, can publish for free. How do you target those readers when you're on the site to tell them, hi, Sally from Harvard, we have a transformative deal. You can publish in our journal for free, right? So there's all of these new use cases out of open access that have required this really sophisticated audience intelligence and targeted capability. I'd say that's one really big area. The other one's on the ad revenue side. If you're a medical publisher, ad revenue is really, really important. And if you were to look at the publishers, I guess that's the right word, out there that are not in the association world but are serving medical content, Stat News, Doximity, right? They all have CDPs because the ability to really create those kind of advertising, ad monetization, revenue paths require that kind of audience intelligence.
You know, if I were an association exec, first of all, clearly you love this topic, right? You really are bringing what we need people to bring to the association nonprofit community as far as energy and expertise around things like this that aren't really that broadly understood or used in this community yet. And what I would be wondering if I was an association exec listening is how big of an adventure is this? Is it a 3-week, 3-month, 3-year adventure? And is it a, you know, $10,000, $100,000 or $900,000 adventure? Or is it a pick your own adventure and there's something for everyone out there?
I think the first thing I would say is, and Dave, you know this, it's never just about the technology.
No, it's not. But I would want to know if I was an association. I want park to be in. Yeah.
So the reason I want to start is not about the technology, is to make the point that the investment's going to be about the total cost of ownership. And what I mean about that is it's not just going to be the cost to bring in a technology, an annual license. It's not going to just sort of be the implementation cost, but you also need to make sure that you've got the marketing team, the strategies, the tactics to actually sort of deliver the tool. And, you know, the cost is really going to depend on the size and scope of the ambition and the association. They tend to cost a little bit more, I would say, than CRMs and AMSs, if you're giving yourself kind of a benchmark there. And often it might require an additional marketing headcount that's really sort of analytical, can use the tool, knows how to leverage the predictive models, can build the kind of more sophisticated campaigns in the tool. So, you know, it's probably not a good choice for an association that has half a marketing head, right? You need to be an association that has, you know, a marketing or communications team that has at least a couple of people and really wants to kind of level up. It's, we find that when organizations make the decision to bring in a CDP, it's usually at the same time or it's quickly following the decision that they want to rethink about marketing and communication. So it's also a really good time to think about, do you have the right structures, strategies, processes in that sort of marketing team? And usually as part of that assessment, you're then, do I have the right tooling? And a CDP is usually one of the missing pieces if you're wanting to build one of those more marketing teams. I'd say it's a, I'd say in general, from a licensing standpoint, it's probably a bigger investment than a CRM, but it's a much simpler project,
okay,
as I said, and you can bite off pieces of it. Usually CRM, AMS implementations, multi-year usually, right? These, we've worked with clients, once they've made the decision what CDP they want, that we've gotten to their high value use cases in 16 weeks.
Okay, that's helpful to know, because you mentioned there's 180 CDP products out there, and I agree with you, it's never about the tech. And that's why I kind of left that one last piece open, which I know isn't terribly helpful when you're trying to understand the scope or breadth of something, when it's a pick your own adventure, because there's something for everyone. But just to make sure, the way I'm interpreting your response is there probably isn't something for everyone, but there is something for every organization that has a reasonably targeted focus on marketing or communications and has the staff and wants to build this capacity, in which case then there's something for everyone. And the value realization is fairly quick compared to an enterprise or a larger scale implementation of something like a CRM or a CMS or an FMS, et cetera. Is that accurate?
100%. That's 100% accurate. And I think what I would say is CDPs, I think, were built for marketers, but we also find at associations that there's other teams that really benefit from them too. So
sure,
data analytics teams, because it's giving you that rich customer insight that you might have not had before. Product teams, because you're understanding who is engaging with products in what ways. So for example, today you might pop up a survey to understand how someone is engaging with your professional development product. In a CDP world, you could attach that to segments. You know, do new customers feel differently than old customers? Do members feel differently about your products than non-members? Do people at different career stages? So it's giving you that much more detailed intelligence to help inform product roadmaps, your platform, your digital experiences, web teams. Because what I find at associations is sometimes there are people that don't sit in a marketing comms department, but they do the kind of activities that are adjacent, and some organizations might sit in a marketing and comms department.
Gotcha. So one of my last question is around, you mentioned analytics and all of the buzz in the association community right now, everything we're talking about with AI driven tools and policies and so on. Is there a relationship between this, or is AI embedded in these types of platforms at this point, or is that a bridge that gets built?
It's going to differ platform by platform, but so most CDPs have predictive models, which are using some form of AI.
Okay.
Propensity to be a member, propensity to not renew, just to give some association use cases. So they're using like lookalikes. They're looking at historical patterns, but they're looking at like customers, and they're predicting. So that's obviously using some machine learning and some sort of AI techniques. Some CDPs use AI to do that probabilistic matching we talked about before, in terms of data matching.
Sure.
There's some CDPs that are doing semantic enrichment and tagging content and have their own LLMs that are really, you know, not just collecting the behavioral data, but saying this article's about this particular topic. And they're using sort of people embeddings, topic embeddings, all of that to make that kind of tagging happen. So there's a lot of variability in the tool set, in the capability set for a CDP. The vendors do a lot of different things, but yeah, absolutely. They're using, I would say the one thing they probably almost all have is some form of predictive intelligence.
Okay, that's helpful. Are there things I did not ask about, or things an association executive should know that you want to make sure they know before we close this out?
I'd say a couple things. I think one of the nice things about CDPs is they have really extensive integration networks. So one of the challenges with a CRM, if you're using that for your customer data and you're plugging it into your MarTech tools, email, et cetera, often you're kind of forced into chart choosing big box solutions, like Salesforce Marketing Cloud, Adobe, and or whatever it kind of integrates with. Most CDPs will have very large integration networks, so they make it very convenient and easy to connect to other tools in your MarTech stack, which is why I think marketers really, really like them. And they have like native integrations. So if you pick the right CDP and pick the right email platform, the profile fields map. And so it's a really easy syncing of data, which I think is really quite nice. So I think that's really important. I think the second thing is the right CDP is very focused on privacy and consent. Mm-hmm, sometimes mm-hmm. people hear behavioral tracking and they think Big Brother, and it makes people feel very uncomfortable. CDPs are very privacy and consent focused. They've got lots of workflows and tools to kind of make sure that customers have the rights to opt in, to opt out, to consent, to not consent, in all of the nuanced ways an organization might wanna do that.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
I think, yeah, because it's really important.
It is, yeah.
It's really important. And that's often, I think, one of the reservations we hear the most is that fear.
Right.
That fear it might be intrusive to my members. And we stress you might have data in Excel spreadsheets. That's also probably not a great way to treat customer data. You know, CDPs are meant to treat customer data in very respectful ways. They've got roles and permissions. They've got advanced consent management. And the privacy laws are changing, right? The new Colorado law about how we can use customer data for retargeting. CDPs are really geared to understand those laws and make sure that marketers manage them. And the other thing we say is everybody's behavioral marketing, right? Your member is also shopping on Amazon or watching movies on Netflix. This isn't new to them. And if you're doing it right, you're showing them things of relevance, right? You're not spamming them. You're doing it really highly contextual. I think that's really important to stress. And I think the last one is, rarely have we encountered association where there isn't a business case here. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's on the revenue side. Many times it's on the revenue side, but you'd be surprised the value there is in creating, I like to call them always on marketing. Most associations we encounter, the marketing is largely hand cranked, right? Meaning a marketer has to go in and actually sort of do something. With a CDP, you can create and automate sort of a member journey. So think about when you go to a magazine and they show you a paywall and they're trying to get you to give you their email address, and they're trying to get you to subscribe, and they're trying to get you to renew. Those are just, they're built. Mm-hmm. They're built once, and marketing teams are optimizing them and testing them and refining them. Often in the association world, marketing teams are having to, each campaign they're creating, they're having to create de novo because they don't have the appropriate kind of automation. So, whether it's revenue, whether it's intelligence, whether there's automation, even though there is a price tag here, like we talked about before, there's usually a pretty justifiable business case.
Okay.
A car with potential clients to help them see the size of the prize.
You know, I said last question, then of course I have one more based on listening to you, this one, and I swear this will be my last one. Is there a data set size, a customer base size that's optimal? Does it get too small at some point? Like we have 10,000 or 3,000 or 300,000 potential customers for our product, our content. Is there a size where it doesn't pay off to have a CDP, or what's, you know what I'm asking?
Yeah, I do. I don't know if I haven't thought about it in terms of customer size, because you could have a very small and engaged, you could have 1,000 people in your database, but if there are 1,000 people that are highly engaged and want to target them, that could have value. I would say the barometer I've seen is you probably have to have a marketing communications, however you structure it, and it might be siloed. You probably at least have to have a team of at least 2 or 3 people to even start considering it. There has to be a little bit of scale in the marketing department, because an investment in a CDP is an investment in much more sophisticated marketing. And so you have to have the marketing people in scale to kind of help with that. Now, That doesn't mean you're not using agencies or consultants to help you with that, but you have to have some marketing people. If you've got half a marketing head, this doesn't make sense.
Right, right. And I think that's important for association execs to know, because you don't want to go paths that are dead ends for you, right? If you have constraints, whether they're cultural, budget, customer size, whatever, marketing to team size, you want to understand what's out there, but you don't necessarily want to look at solutions that you know are not applicable to you. But that's a great answer, because I think that it really does give some parameters around it, but it also focuses on what you need to focus on, which is not the number, but the activity, like you mentioned, engagement and the potential of value for a CDP within the organization, as opposed to just basing things on demographic numbers. So it's worth a conversation.
Yeah. I think the other lens is targeting really important to you? If you're the kind of organization that doesn't have to target really in refined manner, and you can communicate to everyone the same message, and you're extremely successful in doing so, then you probably also don't need a CDP. It's really about you want to communicate in those more personalized, highly segmented ways. You want to move beyond the, you know, six personas to, you know, hundreds and hundreds of segments, and really kind of, or 50 segments, whatever's right for your association. But you want to personalize and target your communication. And I think the other lens is, how important is advertising revenue? How important is open access revenue? There's certain business model signals that tell you it'll be really hard to compete, I think, without a tool like this.
That is awesome. I can't thank you enough for sharing all of this. I can tell you're bored by the conversation through the whole thing, but I appreciate you sticking with it. No, seriously, I really appreciate it. Your energy, your enthusiasm, your knowledge are just so deep in this area that I'm glad association execs are going to get this message. If you have anything you'd like us to include besides your contact information in the show notes, go ahead and send it. We'll include that too. But again, I really appreciate your time. I know you're very busy and you have a lot of people to talk to, so I appreciate you taking the time out for this conversation.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Okay, I clearly was joking when I said Colleen was bored by the conversation at the end there, but I'm so appreciative of all the expertise you just shared with everyone. This is a really somewhat new and important topic for the association community to hear about and understand that it's available to them and that it's being implemented by some of their peers. And really what I took away were especially a couple of the key points there around knowing that your marketing group, your marketing function is sophisticated enough to support this type of product or this type of platform, I should say. We did talk about that it's not one size fits all. It's not about the technology. It's about the need for an organization to mature their marketing, to mature their automation, to mature their data governance and the importance of data within the organization. And really to understand that the agility within the organization is important for the success of something like a customer data platform. Thanks again, Colleen. I appreciate it. Hope to see you all soon out there in 3D.
That's it for today's episode of Reboot IT. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast directory and leave us a 5-star review while you're there. You can reach us through the Delcor website and keep up with Dave and the rest of the Delcorians by following the Delcor social media channels. See you next time.